Hello, everyone, and welcome back to East Coast Haunts. I'm MK.
And I'm Sam.
And today, we're recording this late night. I should say tonight.
This is probably the latest we've ever recorded.
I know. Well, almost it is the solstice, so it's like the longest day of the year. So I guess that kind of makes a little bit of sense.
We did it on purpose. Exactly. It's the first according to summer, too, right?
I think that's tomorrow. Okay. Or wait, no, wait. Yeah, I think you're right.
Tomorrow.
I think you're right. I think solstice is the official start of summer.
Okay.
Here we go. How exciting. Happy summer.
Happy summer. We kind of have a little bit of a, I don't want to say a summery location, but it kind of is a summery location today, isn't it?
It is. We're living on island time today because we are going down to the beautiful Kent Island in Maryland. It's one of my favorite places in the world. My parents have a house down there, and I have spent like pretty much every weekend the past two summers down there in the bay.
What are some things that you do? Obviously, there's boating.
Yes, boating. Obviously, eating lots and lots of seafood, which I will talk about in a hot sec. And you know, there's like the big owl tiki bar, which is so fun. There's a lot of like really good restaurants. There is, oh, actually, if you're ever down in the Kent Island, Stevensville area, there is an escape room down there called Save the Day Escape Room. And I did it with my two sisters and our three boyfriends. I think it was Memorial Day weekend, and it was a really fun time. They have like all classic literature themed escape rooms, and we did the Frankenstein one, and it was just an absolute blast. I think it's run by a aunt niece duo. So it's like a family business, and it's really such a great time. Definitely check them out if you're in the area. We'll have to go the next time we're down there.
I was going to say, I know that we're planning on doing something hopefully late summer, so add that to the list.
And I think they host murder mystery dinners too, so.
Oh my god.
You know, right up our alley.
There's a lot to do in Kent Island.
There is, yes. Lots of boating, pickleball is big down there. You know how it is.
I understand how it is. And there are also a lot of different places to stay.
Yes, such there is. The Chester River Inn.
Was that
That was a great segue.
Thank you very much.
Nicely done. So I was in charge of doing the history for this specific location. Couldn't find any information on the history. So I'm going to give you a brief history of Kent Island itself.
I like that.
And then Sam's going to talk to you about the haunts in Chester River Inn. So let me take you way, way back and tell you a little bit about Kent Island, the beginnings of Kent Island. So Kent Island is located in Queen Anne's County, Maryland. And believe it or not, it's actually the first English settlement in Maryland.
Oh.
So it's been around for a while. And actually, it was funny. I was driving down there the other day, and it was after I had done the research for this episode, and I saw a sign as I was driving, like, near my parents' house, and it said, First English Settlement. And I was like, oh my god, that's so funny, because I've never noticed that sign before. And then, all of a sudden, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I grew up in Maryland, and I did not know that was the First English Settlement. I don't think I ever would have even guessed that.
So, it's the oldest English settlement in Maryland, and it's believed to be the third oldest U.S. settlement behind two others. Do you want to take a guess what those two others are? Use that history brain.
I would love to try. I'm going to say Jamestown.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay. Jamestown and, like, Roanoke, maybe?
Okay. It's funny that you say that. It's not Roanoke, but if you had asked me, I probably would have said the same thing.
Is it Williamsburg?
No.
Okay.
It's Plymouth. Plymouth, like Plymouth.
Oh, Dude, that's I should have gotten that.
I know, but that's so funny that you said Roanoke because like when I was doing my research and I was reading about it, I was like, oh, it's probably Jamestown, Roanoke. And
Right? I was
then
kind of
it
assuming.
was funny.
And also, like, yeah, like they're in like the Maryland, Virginia area, so I was like, it would all go together. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the
Yes.
only one that thought that.
Good. I know. That actually reassured me a little bit as well. So anyway, so Kent Island is connected to the mainland Maryland by the Kent Narrows Bridge, which goes over the it's aptly named. It goes over the Kent Narrows Waterway and the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which you guessed it, goes over the Chesapeake Bay. So easy to remember there. Kent Island had been inhabited by Native Americans for 12 decades, so that's 12,000 years. Oh no, 12 centuries. 12 centuries, my bad. My bad. So that's 12,000 years before English settlers, quote unquote, discovered the island, which is like, come on.
Yeah, classic.
Yes, you know, those English settlers coming in messing up everything. The Mattapique tribe, though, was the first recorded tribe to live there, and they were like a small subsect of the Algonquin tribe.
Bye.
And just like a fun fact, there is like a Mattapique State Park now on Kent Island. And the Mattapique tribe used to call Kent Island Monopsin, Monoponsin, Monoponsin.
Which means,
And I'm not sure what that
or
means,
that's just
but
what they called it. Okay.
that was their name for the settlement. So the first person to ever see Kent Island is supposedly a very famous English settler. And I don't want to quiz you on your US history too much, but do you want to guess who that might have been?
I feel like John Smith.
Yes, very good.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, sweet. I was gonna say maybe John Smith is too obvious, but okay, sweet. I'm doing pretty well.
You are doing, I would give you an A minus.
Thank you. I will
You're
absolutely take
welcome.
that.
At this point, if I could get an A minus in history, I would take that in a heartbeat.
As would I.
So, Captain John Smith is thought to be the first to have actually seen Kent Island, but it wasn't settled officially until 1631 by William Claiborne, who had come from the Jamestown settlement, and he named Kent Island after his home, which is Kent in England.
Oh, okay.
So that's
Interesting.
where the name comes from. And he had actually gone to the island with the intent of trading with local tribes. So he built up a small settlement there, and actually the original settlement burnt down during their first winter, but it was rebuilt at a like remarkably quick pace. And the new settlement included a trading station, a grist mill, and a courthouse. So they were pretty set up, like permanently established
All
here.
the essentials.
Exactly. Which I'm not like, obviously, I get trading station, like grist mill, feeding, like that's all good. You would think like courthouse, yeah, courthouses are important, but like if you're settling a piece of land, like I don't know if courthouse would be in my top three things to put there.
Let's first get the food and gathering situation under control before we
Yes, perhaps some
impose.
lodging.
Yeah. Before we impose, yeah, the courthouse. That's interesting, but I guess it worked out for them.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, it's still standing, so they're all good there.
Last.
When Kent Island was originally settled, there were initial disputes over whether the island belonged to Maryland, and that like kind of whole notion was headed by, I'm really gonna try not to butcher this name, Cecilius Calvert.
Okay.
Or Virginia, which is who William Claiborne had originally claimed the land for because he was from Jamestown.
Drama.
I know, so they had kind of like went back and forth. They had like some disputes, but the fighting eventually ended when Claiborne left Kent Island in 1658 permanently.
Oh, all right.
Virginia, though, did claim Kent Island until 1776 when it was officially decided to be Maryland's territory.
Good choice.
Yep, I agree. I think Kent Island definitely gives more Maryland vibes than Virginia
Yeah.
vibes.
Virginia has plenty of its own beaches and, like, you know what I mean? Like, give us.
Yeah, they've got enough down there. They're fine without Ken Island. So throughout the 17th and 18th century, Ken Island locals tried to farm and like grow an agricultural economy, but the nutrient poor soil prevented any real like farming industry from taking root and growing. And
Classic.
that's because they were trying to plant tobacco and corn, which initially started out pretty well, but then they depleted like all the nutrients in the soil, so it just kind of died out. But this all changed in the mid 19th century, around 1850, which is when the Industrial Revolution started to gain speed. And the Chesapeake Bay became a very popular location for steamboat travel,
Okay.
which is pretty cool. I actually love like the old-fashioned steamboats. I think they're so neat looking.
I know, because remember, you want to go on one later this
I
summer.
do.
Yeah.
I do want to go on one. I want to do like a little dinner on like this little steamboat that they have on the Jersey Shore. I'm very excited
I'm
about
really
it.
excited. It's gonna be so fun.
We'll make it happen. Maybe it's haunted. We'll have to check it out.
Oh, yeah, we actually, that's a good question. That's a good point. I never even thought about that.
Well,
Maybe we'll make an episode out.
you know, two people are going to find out if it's haunted. It's you and me.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So, Ken Island started to, the Chesapeake Bay became more and more well traveled, and Ken Island developed into the place we know and love today with an economy based on tourism. And there was, so there's a point on Ken Island called Love Point. And that was actually where smaller resorts started to crop up around, and people would go and like stay for fun,
Okay.
just on the beach. It's giving very much so, like, I don't know why, but it was giving me like, and then there were none vibes. If anyone's ever read that by Agatha Christie, when they have like the big, like mansion that's like overlooking like the Rocky
Oh, I like
Sea.
that visual.
It's such like, I don't know why, but that was, and like there's a Love Point lighthouse and everything, so like it like that's such the vibes that I'm getting
Yeah.
from that.
Especially on a stormy day.
Oh my gosh, yes. And you know how I know we talked about this during my like the lighthouse episode. I think it was like the Wood Island Lighthouse. I would love nothing more than to like live in a lighthouse for a
Yeah.
year or two.
It would be so
But
cool.
anyway, that's like the vibe that we're talking like cable knit sweater vibe, like resort.
No more. I'm there.
Yes, you know the vibes. So their economy was based on tourism, farming, which is ironic because it had failed originally, but now with new farming technology, they were able to grow corn, wheat, berries, and melons. And of course, obviously, there was a booming seafood trade. Chesapeake. It's thought to be the Algonquin word for Great Shellfish Bay, but more recent like linguistic studies have said like that actually may not be true, but it hasn't been confirmed. The shellfish that they are referring to in like the Great Shellfish Bay when people refer to the Chesapeake Bay, you would think that it's the Maryland blue crab, right? Because that's
Yeah,
what
that's what
Maryland's
I
famous
think.
for.
Is it
It's
not? What is
actually, no, it's actually oysters.
Really? Oh, that's surprising. Yeah.
So the whole seafood trade was centered around oysters, blue crabs, and a specific kind of fish called rockfish.
I love rockfish.
It is delicious.
So
Rockfish
good.
is really good. And you know, now I keep their economy in business single-handedly by the sheer amount of orange crushes that I drink. So when I'm out there,
That's the number four import or export or whatever.
literally by the sheer amount of crabs and orange crushes that I drink when I'm down there is enough to keep that island going for a while.
Is the dinner of champions, as far as
It
I'm
really
concerned.
is. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, last meal
Orange
is gonna be
crushes.
a crab feast for sure.
Yeah, I might have to agree with that. Oh, yum. I haven't had crabs yet this summer, so I need to
We
get.
had some on Monday and they were so good. Oh, I love crabs.
I hope you guys don't have them this weekend when I'm not there.
I know. I
Are
think
you?
we're having pizza tomorrow.
Oh, still a fun option.
I kind of forgot we were recording for a hot sec there.
I know. It's late. We're off our usual schedule.
I know. Well, let me just wrap up the history section real quick. And then like the last really notable thing that happened in Kent Island was in 1952, the Bay Bridge was built to connect Annapolis to Kent Island. And it's known as like one of the scariest bridges to drive over in the whole wide world. You can just ask our moms.
Yeah.
They will tell you about it. It's really rickety looking, I'm not gonna lie.
My mom has, and Mary Kate, I think your mom might have the same thing. My mom has someone drive her over it. There's like a
Yes. There's like an escort service across the bridge, because it's such a common fear that people just like can't do it.
I have to say, I drove over it for the first time a few months ago, and I really didn't think it was bad.
I was telling our grandma about this today. The first time I ever drove over the bridge, I didn't even realize that it was the Bay Bridge.
Right? Yeah, it's like you,
Yeah.
I get it. I get why it's scary, but I don't think it's that bad.
I think you're like, if you don't have like a pre-existing fear of bridges, it's this one's not going to start anything.
Right. But for some people, it is their biggest fear.
Yes.
Speaking of
So,
big fears,
wow, you're killing it with the segues today.
thank you so much. Speaking of big fears, let's talk about the spooky haunts of the Chester River Inn. There is one main ghost here, okay, that we're going to be focusing on. The Star Democrat said, quote, "To those who have worked in or visited the building, the ghost is simply known as Sarah. The rest of her identity is a mystery," unquote.
Ooh.
So we're not working off a ton here. It's interesting, Mary Kate, that you said that you couldn't find any history on it because, like, there's the haunts, they're not really based off of any one tale. They're all just kind of whispered and like, different tall tales from different times all put
Word
together.
of mouth.
Word of mouth, oral history, if you will. So, according to the Book of History and Houses, A Kent Island Heritage by Mildred C. Scotch, there was a woman named Sarah Blangy Price, and she actually owned the land that the Chester River Inn was on. She owned it back in the 1750s, which I think is very uncommon for a woman back then to own the land.
Good for her.
So this woman named Sarah owned the land in the 1750s, but the building that is now the Chester River Inn was not built on that spot until 1860. So of course there are some people that think that this Sarah that owned the land is the Sarah that haunts the Chester River Inn, although she wasn't alive by the t she was, long dead by the time the Chester River Inn was actually built. So just some food for thought. So people wonder how, if this is the Sarah that everyone refers to, how did she find herself inside the inn? There are three different stories that people believe. One guess is that she was murdered, so I guess her spirit kind of still lurks the area. So even though she didn't like die in the Chester River Inn or anything, she was murdered on that land, and so her soul is still there. Some people think that Sarah was a child waiting for her parents that never returned from a long journey. So this theory is it doesn't really have anything to do with the other theory of the Sarah owning the land. This is like a separate one. And then the third theory is, and this is probably the most popular one, was that Sarah was actually the wife of a merchant marine who was lost at sea. And so she stays in that area, she stays in her home, and she waits for his return, which is really
Oh,
sad.
that's so sad.
Honestly, all three are sad, but that one is definitely, I think, the most widely publicized version.
Okay.
It's very maritime. It's very
Oh, totally. Yeah. Maritime was the word that I was looking for earlier when I was trying to describe the vibe of the resorts.
Maritime.
That's the one. Thank yeah. you.
So, we don't know exactly who she is, like I said, and like you can tell from those multiple theories, but we do know that many, many people have sensed her presence. There are classic haunts, like odd noises upstairs. There are areas, pockets of coldness. There's a feeling that you're being watched when you're alone that a lot of people report. I actually have a specific example. There is a woman named Biana, and she is... I'm sorry if you heard my...
ghostly text.
Yeah, dude, I'm so sorry. That's so annoying.
Is that the spirits communicating from the other side?
Yes. They were, yeah, exactly. Don't get me freaked out. It's too late at night for that. anyway, this woman, Biana, is a co-owner of Hemingway's, which I believe is a restaurant. I mean, when I wrote this stuff down, it was a couple weeks ago. But... go ahead.
So I was actually gonna mention this and I totally forgot. So the Chester River Inn does not actually exist anymore. The Chester River Inn became Hemingway's and it's located on like literally right next to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. On one side is a nature park called Terrapin Nature Park, and the other side is Hemingway's. Hemingway's also no longer exists anymore. It's now called Libby's Coastal Kitchen. And the reason that I know so much about the, I know I was like remiss when I was like, oh, I don't really know that much about the history of this place. My parents got engaged there.
Right.
Yeah.
My parents got engaged at Hemingway's. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I knew it sounded familiar, but then I was thinking like, oh, maybe I'm thinking of like Ernest Hemingway. Oh, that makes so much sense. Your parents did get engaged here.
So it's kind of funny because, like, we went to Hemingway's, like, a couple of times when we were younger. And, like, now we go to Libby's Coastal Kitchen. So the entire time we were doing, like, research on this episode, I was, like, trying to find, like, this Chester River Inn. And I was, like, where is it? Like, where on the island is it? Couldn't find it on a map. Like, couldn't find anything about the history. And I just now, like, pulled up an article and it was, like, oh, yeah. Chester River Inn like became Hemingway's, and I was like, oh my god.
Okay, this makes so much okay. So this is making my notes make more sense now too.
Okay, good.
So there's this woman named Biana, and when the Chester River Inn became Hemingway's, she was a co-owner. I believe she owned it with her husband. Yeah, she owned it with her husband Steve. So she was at the restaurant working late when a fire alarm went off around 2:30 a.m.
That's freaky.
So her husband, Steve, drives there to wait for the police and to make sure she's okay. Obviously, she was out of the building by then, but Steve looked in and he could see a figure in the front door. He could tell it was a woman with gray hair, but he didn't have any other details on her appearance, which, to be fair, I'm sure it was very dark. It was 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
But he definitely did see a silhouette with gray hair, which is very interesting. And a woman silhouette. So that's one interesting story. There's another guy. He was a bartender named Doug Edmonds. He was a bartender at Megan's. And I couldn't find any info on this place. So I don't know if this was... somewhere that was popular, or if this took over Hemingway's before it became Libby's.
I'm not sure. I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything. But anyway, either way, this bartender said that he felt that Sarah had joined him behind the bar on several occasions when he was alone. So I thought that was kind of interesting. She was, like, keeping him company. As he worked. And if this Megan's place is not in the exact location of the Chester River Inn / Hemingway's, it would be kind of interesting because it means that Sarah's like, you know, bopping around a couple different locations.
Yeah, that is interesting. We really have not covered a whole lot of like traveling spirits, you know?
Yeah, because usually they do seem to be, you know, all in one place, but there's definitely the potential that Sarah, especially if this is the Sarah that, you know, owned that big plot of land, like maybe she like, you know, is free to wander around whichever area of the land she wants. I don't know.
Interesting.
Very interesting. That's and we cool also, stuff. This bartender, Doug, said that he has also felt someone touch him on the shoulder before, and then he turns around and no one's there. So he also said that one night Sarah was feeling mischievous, and he and a bartender one night, it was like 11 p.m., they were standing at the bar when within like 20 or 30 minutes of each other, three different martini glasses like flew off the rack and crashed to the ground. I'm pretty sure they think she was just being like a little bit like cheeky and funny and like making these three martini glasses like fly off to the point where they couldn't be like, oh, like that was an accident. They were like, what was that?
What's going on here?
So it seems like Sarah, that's like pretty much the only information I could find, but she seems fun and she seems pretty fun and friendly.
She seems chill. I would like to go hang out with Sarah.
Yeah. She seems like a nice gal. And she seems to fit like the chill laid back vibe of Kent Island. Would you agree?
I would agree. Actually, before I forget, I do wanna share something interesting.
Please do.
It seems to me that Kent Island might be like, I mean, since it's such like an older part of history in the US, mm-hmm. It seems to be a very like haunted place, and it kind of makes sense. So just a couple of like other quick places that I wanted to mention around Kent Island that I've heard from the locals that are haunted.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
So my parents live right around a little development called Queen's Landing, and there's a restaurant in there. It used to be called Chesterfield's, and I believe your mom used to be a waitress there.
I also believe she was, yes.
Apparently, Chesterfield's, it's now like a dual restaurant. It's a Cafe Sato, it's a sushi restaurant, which is very good, and the Poorhouse, which is one of my favorite Kent Island eateries. But that building is supposedly haunted, and I also talked to one of my parents' neighbors in Kent Island who said that she used to work at a nearby restaurant too, and like they used to have to draw straws to go in the basement because it was so freaky down there, and like people would get very weird feelings and stuff.
Wow.
It's so. That's definitely haunted. And then there's a couple more historic sites around the island that, as I was doing my research, popped up as haunted. So we might have to revisit Kent Island in the future.
And literally revisit, like, go there, because we know people that live there.
We can go to the Poorhouse and do our own investigation over a couple of
over a couple pours, perhaps.
Over a couple of orange crushes, perhaps.
I think that actually would be delicious. Orange crushes and crabs is the theme of the night.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. We will, I will say though, as many times as I have been to the Poorhouse, I have not had any paranormal experiences there, so.
Well, but now that you know what to look out for, it might be different. True. Especially after you've had a couple drinks and your mind is.
I was just about to say. After I crush a few crushes, who knows what I'll be seeing.
You'll start, yeah. The room will start spinning. You'll be like, it's haunted. I'm just kidding.
Oh, spirits. Let me out of your grasp. Anyway, I might be under the influence of another spirit that night.
Oh, that was good. Thank you. I wish I thought of that for you.
Anyway, today is now tomorrow, and we gotta wrap this episode up. So,
We'll talk to you soon.
We'll be back. We know this was kind of a long jump in between episodes, but we're back on our roll now.
Yes, and, we are.
We've got some exciting Patreon episodes coming up, so if you haven't checked us out on there, check us out. And until next time, we're just two ghouls creeping it real.
Okay, bye.